This morning's public reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 10 to 19. So I would invite you all, if you have a Bible, to pick it up and open to Jeremiah chapter 5, 10 to 19, as we continue our journey in this Old Testament book. Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, quote, is it not he? Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine, unquote. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulchre. They are all mighty men. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herd. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Amen. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Man, what a portion. What a portion. So, verse 10, go ye up upon the walls and destroy. So here we find in a warning or a prophecy or a pronouncement that the walls of Jerusalem are going to be destroyed, but not a full end. God always has that sacred remnant. Take away her battlements. Now watch this. Take away her battlements, meaning take away the things that she trusts to protect her and make her safe. And notice what God says about the defenses and the securities and the fallbacks that God's people had made. They are not the Lord's. Beloved, you can build all the F-16s you want. You can have all the bombers. You can have state-of-the-art aircraft carriers. You can have all the nukes. And if a nation is banking their existence and their trust on those implements, they're not of the Lord. See, God's people were putting their confidence, their safety, and their trust in things which God never intended to be trusted in. And one of the things that the kings of Judah were doing at this time, knowing that Nebuchadnezzar was around the corner, is they first reached out to Assyria to make a treaty, hoping that Assyria could stop the invading Babylonians from the north by coming down to the south. Then they put their hands out to the Egyptians, Pharaoh Necho, as we saw in the last hour in our time outline. Oh yes, he came, but he subjugated Judah. And in a very famous battle, okay, Nebuchadnezzar took care of them. And so the question is, what is the modern day church? What are their battlements? Well, it's not prayer. It's not the word of God. It's not having a good old-fashioned prayer meeting where we simply pour our hearts out to God and simply shed tears over the sins of our nation and the sins of our people. We put our trust in big shot evangelical preachers who, when you're on your sickbed in your given location, not one of them is going to jump in their Learjet and pay you a visit and pray for you at your sick bedside. You can send them all the offerings you want and get all their magazines and all their free book offers. You can do their matching grant offers on the radio and on TV. But my dear friends, when you're in the hospital room hooked up to machines with tubes coming in your body and coming out of your body, where's going to be that megachurch evangelical pope that you put so much trust and confidence in? Notice that in verse 10. Israel and Judah were trusting in things that the Lord had never made to be trusted. Physical implements, where God said, they're not mine. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have maligned the Lord and said, is it not he? Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. And when Jesus gives the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, what was one of the signs or one of the things that are going to be said by the Jews that had encamped themselves and barricaded themselves within the walls of Jerusalem between 66 and 70 AD? Peace, peace, when there was no peace. Even the book of Revelation substantiates that. Peace, peace. Their false prophets and their false teachers admonishing the people, no harm will come to us. And yet 3.5 years later, the Romans breached the wall, destroyed the city, toppled every stone in fulfillment of Jesus' words in Matthew 24 on top the Mount of Olives, and torched it and destroyed it, my dear friend. Wow. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, verse 14, because you speak this word, quote, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. God is telling Jeremiah, metaphorically speaking, I'm going to make my word in your mouth like a blowtorch. And these people are going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And when you speak and when you pronounce my word, it will be like a forest fire, lit and out of control. That's how God metaphorically describes the impact of Nebuchadnezzar upon his tiny Judah. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, an ancient nation, a nation whose language or whose tongue thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver, meaning their bows and their arrows, and their implements, he likens to an open sepulcher. You know what that means? An open grave, ready to receive dead body after dead body after dead body. And they shall eat up thine harvest, look at verse 17, and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should have eaten. Yeah, the harvest that should have gone into your children's belly is going to go to your enemy's belly. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Take the latter part of verse 17 and hook it up to verse 10, they are not the Lord's battlements. How many times did Israel see the intervention of God Almighty, where God routed the enemy with hailstones and lightning and thunder, and the Israelites didn't have to lift up a sword? You have instances where Elisha told the Lord to open his servant's eyes. And what was surrounding Samaria? Fiery chariots and angelic warriors with swords drawn, and they routed the enemy. What about the death angel that went through the camp of the Assyrians, and by daybreak the entire camp of the enemy was nothing but dead bodies bloating in the sun? What is the modern day church trusting they're trusting in a slick preacher who's nothing more than a corporate executive of an institution. They're trusting in worldly gimmicks to bring in people. They're trusting, my dear friends, in the flesh, but not in the spirit. They're trusting with the latest gimmick, like a worm on a hook, to bring in the masses, and therefore to rob them of their cash in their pocket and the morning offerings. My dear friends, do not be snookered. Don't be hooked. Don't be deceived. Don't be hoodwinked, my dear friends. Notice the same crimes listed here are no different than the crimes that this country has done against the God who has brought us definitely into a land of plenty. And what have we done? We've turned our back on him, and we've gone off, and we have worshiped money, power, and might at the exclusion of the Creator. Well, may God choose in his wisdom that in the context of his judgment now, that he would please grant mercy. Amen.